I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jesse Romero today because Jesse's at a bunch of meetings. And also, you ready for the big news? Where's the drum roll? Jesse actually is going to be interviewed on the History Channel regarding spiritual warfare because of his book.
How about that?
And the neat thing about it, folks, he's going to talk about Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
There you go. Of course, we don't have any control over whether or not that gets edited out, but
he'll say it.
Here's hoping, yeah.
Matt, welcome. And today we're going to be talking on pro-life issues because this is the 47th year since Roe versus Wade, the infamous Supreme Court decision to deny unborn babies the value of life.
That's right.
And so we're going to talk also about Bernard Nathanson, who was a doctor who performed over 75,000 abortions. But wait till you hear the good news after that. And also, I've got a good Norbertine priest. I pulled a homily over last Sunday at our chapel here of a Norbertine priest giving you inspirational stories at the Planned Parenthood Center, where he tried to help a father save his son's life that they aborted. But wait till you hear that story. And much, much more. But Matthew, we always start our shows with the good news of Jesus Christ and the scriptures from the gospel. But I want to also remind everybody, the reading today, the first reading was from Samuel, and it's the talking about the five stones that we always talk about. Let me give you the exact verse for it so you look it up. Samuel 1, 17 to 32 and on, and it talks about how David took care of business with five stones, and we can take care of business with the five stones of our spiritual life also. So, Matt, let's go ahead and read from the Gospel of Mark.
All right. This is the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Mark, from Mark 3, verses 1 through 6. Jesus entered the synagogue. Mm-hmm. There was a man there who had a withered hand. Mm-hmm. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? To save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent. Looking around at them with anger and grieved at the heart at their hardness of heart, Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. Thus far, the words of the Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. That's... Well, there's a lot here. I just quickly, it says he went into the synagogue and the Pharisees, his enemies, were watching him to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath so they could accuse him.
Exactly.
As you know, they were very legalistic about the prohibition to work on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd say, well, any kind of work.
Yeah.
And he's going, wait a second, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? And, of course, they don't have an answer for
it. They won't answer that question for a good reason.
Yeah, that's right. And so he goes ahead. And the other thing, too, two things. What's the right response to that? Bible tells us right here.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at them with anger. Yep. And he was grieved at their hardness of heart.
Mm.
Anger, you know, it can be an emotional response, but in the face of injustice, anger is the right response.
Well, look what he did in the temple.
That's
they were
right.
Selling, yep.
So he told the man to stretch out his hand, and he cured him.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't dare say anything about him. So what did they do instead? They conspired with his other enemies to kill him.
Yep.
And this is the thing. That tells us an important thing that ties in with what we're going to talk about today, which is precisely that there's a price to pay for doing the right thing.
Well said.
All right.
Well
and
said.
Now,
let's bring Bishop Sheen into the room. Matt, you said it so quick. I'm so, hey, full Sheen ahead here. Bishop Sheen got in here real quick, too. Bishop Sheen's comment is on justice, and it fits for our show regarding justice for the unborn. And he says, peace is inseparable from justice. One does not really set out to have peace. Peace is a byproduct of justice. You know, Matt, when I read that to you before the show, you went, wow. I said, yeah, but Mother Teresa had that similar statement, but she said, we will never have peace as long as we have abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And today is marking the 47th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and we need to stand up for life more than ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And boy, there's so much here. Yeah. You have the quite a stack of stuff, and I got a few things too.
I want you to get into your, but here's what I want to tell people too. And that is, actually, to set the stage, I'm going to mention, I've got a clip from a Norbertine priest. I'm going to play it. It's a 4-minute clip of a story, because Matt's got a phenomenal story, and stories are what really people get and they like. So right. I'm going to ask the engineer to play, and this is a priest at our Sunday Mass here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, and he's talking about standing up for life, and he tells a story. And I don't know about you, but if you're not inspired by this story, saying, boy, that's a priest after my own heart, he stood up for life in front of Planned Parenthood. Play that clip.
Before we went to that March for Life, I and the prep school students went to Planned Parenthood, the one in Orange on Tustin Avenue. A place in which, thankfully, we've had a number of babies saved. Just going there and talking to some of the women. Some beautiful babies are now alive because some of us were out there talking to the women. And, of course, because God's grace acted upon these women and moved them to choose life. And right. It's a beautiful thing to see a little one laughing and giggling and running around and knowing that that little one's life was very close to being lost if it weren't for God's special work of providence and grace. However, last year, this very day last year, I and the students went down there, and we did not experience a joy like that. We rather experienced a great tragedy. I was thankfully able to talk to a father who was willing to talk to me. It was very interesting. He wasn't even Christian, but he saw me in my habit, and still, even for non-Christians, the sign of the priesthood, the sign of consecrated religious in the Catholic Church, even for a non-Christian. I don't even know if you believe in God, to be honest. Moved him to talk to me, and he said he wanted to have forgiveness for what he was about to do, taking the life of his little one. And he had no ignorance about this. Some persons have some ignorance. There's varying degrees of knowledge about what's being done, and thus varying degrees of culpability. I think everybody who chooses to get an abortion, everyone or almost everyone knows they're doing something wrong, but there's varying degrees of exactly how wrong it is, whether it's, you know, just something you shouldn't do or whether it's is what it is, whether it's murder. Some people have that sense, and this man knew it. He knew it. He knew it was a little one. I pulled out for him these symbols, you know, these little tiny symbols of these little ones, and like this. And he said, Father, you don't need to show me that. I know it. I know what it is. I know the development of the baby. I know what's going to be done. I'm just here to ask for forgiveness for what I'm about to do. I feel sorry for myself. And I spoke with him for about an hour, trying to talk him out of the insanity of that position, saying, if you're really sorry, are you sorry for yourself? Are you sorry, period? Are you sorry to God and the baby? And if you really are, you can stop this.
Right.
Well, without going into all the details of that conversation and how I faced his objections to what he was going to do and how I answered them and how he saw that the truth was contrary to what he was about to act like, and he saw that what he was doing was wrong and he knew all the reasons for it. And despite all that, despite knowing the truth of it all, despite my pleading, my literally on my knees in tears, pleading for him to not murder his child, to not kill and take the life of his own child, he went ahead and did it.
Oh.
And that is poor baby Vincent, who I wept over greatly, because it's not every day when you have a conversation like that with a father who you think is going to change his mind. At various points in that conversation, it appeared he was going to change his mind. At least there was that hope. At one point, he called his wife, who was in the abortion facility, and talked with her, and I was thinking maybe they might change their mind. I was hoping to just talk with her. I said, please, just give me a chance to talk to her. But her heart was hardened too, and their main concern was getting their child, their other child, their 4-year-old, to swimming practice that day while they took the life of their sibling, of that little one's sibling. The devil is a tricky one, huh? He can mess up the minds of people, including these two poor parents. I pray for them. The father's name was Quan. You don't know him, so I can give his name. And the baby, I honored with the name of Baby Vincent.
Wow. When I heard that at the homily, and that was a 20-minute homily, and if people want to hear the entire pro-life homily, just, you know, send me an email, Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, at saint, S-A-I-N-T-J-O-E.com, and I'll send you the exact homily. But, Matt, what do you think that example did for those young students in high school when their pastor, their priest, their teacher stood up for life? Do you think they'll ever forget that?
I don't think they will. And I'm sorry to say that Quan never will either.
Right.
You know.
Sadly to say.
Because he, at some point in his life, even if it's at the very end, he's going to realize that he had the opportunity to do the right thing.
Yes.
And exercised, or I should say abused, yes, his free will.
I want to give a teaser. Matthew shared some stories with me about our faith that I think will inspire. Because, you know, we have to talk here at Virgin Most Powerful about some bad things like abortion.
Right.
But we also want to give you answers and hope. And there's always the same answer and the same hope as in Jesus Christ. There's no other.
That's right.
So when we come back from the break, we're going to tell you a couple of these things that are going on. That.
And you also promised to tell us a little about Bernard Nathanson.
Oh, I wanted to tell you about Bernard Nathanson, I can actually do that when we come back and then let Matt come, because I want to set the stage of how in the world 40-some years ago, the abortion people, how in the world did they get this through America back in the late 60s? And Bernard Nathanson, what he has told me personally what happened. And I want to share that with you, our listener, because he's been dead maybe 8 years now. Mm-hmm. But he was one of the first doctors in the 1960s that was promoting abortion on demand. And wait till you hear what he said back then, that, it wasn't the truth, but he got his message across. And then how he made restitution the rest of his life. I'll tell you on the other side of this break what happened with him.
Wow, looking forward to that.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together, we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
All right, welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matthew Arnold sitting in for Jesse Romero today. And we are observing the anniversary, the 47th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. I'd like to see that overturned before we make 50, Terry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so anyway, Terry, you promised to talk about Bernard Nathanson.
He's a doctor who actually was involved in the 1960s, late 60s, to try and get the abortion rights through. It was in New York. That's the first state that actually got it through. And he told me, through many talks that I recorded in the 1980s and 90s, that he lied, that he gave false information to try and persuade America to realize that we need abortion on demand.
So in other words, he knows that it's a human being, he knows all these things, but he's going to pretend like the jury's out. Eh?
Yes, and he actually performed over 75,000 abortions himself.
Wow.
And he actually aborted his grandson.
Oh my gosh.
So you see now you're going, wow, how evil is that? Yeah. But here's the good news about Dr. Bernard Nathanson. In the 1980s, okay, he had a conversion. Does anybody remember the movie The Silent Scream? That was one of the abortions he was doing.
Wow.
And he filmed it. And it converted him. Through God's grace, he became pro-life. Not only did he become pro-life, Matthew, he became a Catholic. He was a non-practicing Jew.
Wow.
And I gave him Scott Hahn material. I gave him Fulton Sheen. I met him personally. So we had a little bit of a kinship. But here's the kicker about Bernard Nathanson. He spent the rest of his life trying to make restitution for what he did on abortion. And if people Google his name, you'll see all kinds of books, Aborting America. I put out thousands of cassette tapes. Yeah, cassette tapes. You remember those old ones? On his conversion. Yeah. What Nathanson told the Irish about abortion. He was instrumental back in the 80s in preventing abortion to be legal back then. And so he was a great man. And here's the fun story about Bernard Nathanson. In 1988, I got involved with something called Operation Rescue. And this was before I was married. I was a single man. And I was at an abortion clinic in Cyprus. And we decided to try to save a life by breaking the law, and we had a sit-in. And guess who was sitting right next to me and got arrested with me that day? Dr. Bernard Nathanson.
Wow, about that.
And so we went to jail because we were trying to stop life. About 40,000 people were arrested back in the 80s at this time. And we were just trying to, say, look, we're tired of killing unborn babies. We're going to make a stand. So I share this story about Dr. Bernard Nathanson because I still think his message is so prevalent and so appropriate for today. And with what we're dealing with right now, with all the good pro-life people standing up for life now, and with a pro-life president, we've never been so close to getting a reversal of Roe versus Wade.
That's right. And there's so much, because you've got a whole big stack of stuff. I've got stuff, much good news. But I wanted to set the stage, and I shared this story with you.
Oh, I love it. You're going to...
It was just last night. I'm reading a book that I just found. It's over 100 years old.
I like the old one.
And it's full of stories. And one of them was about a bishop in Scotland back during the penal times, right? When after the Reformation, when Scotland went all, they went Presbyterian, it was illegal to be Catholic. And to be a Catholic priest, if you were caught saying Mass, it was a death sentence.
Unbelievable.
Okay? And this story is about a bishop in Scotland. Okay, so the Catholics have been kicked out of the churches. He's like our Lord. He has nowhere to lay his head. He's walking around his diocese with the authority of the church, but with no, a temporal authority of any kind. Like I say, walking on foot, going from village to village, talking to the poor and the persecuted, because that's where he's more likely to find the Catholics, And it was the same thing. This night he was caught in a storm, and he's looking for refuge, and he finds a little cottage, and he goes and knocks on the door, and an old woman answers and offers him shelter from the storm, something to eat. Says, "But I'm sorry, I don't have a bed for you. My husband and I, we have only one bed, and my husband has been ill for a very long time, and he's now in his final illness, he's in his last days. And so, he can't give up the bed." And he's like, "Well, of course I understand." And she was very upset. And he asked her, what was bothering her. And she said, "Well, the doctor came a few days ago and said, your husband had been senile. He'd been, both mentally and physically sick for a long time. Didn't really know where he was or what was going on. And she said, the doctor says a lot of times people, at the right before they die, they rally and become themselves again for a short time.
Yes.
And she said, and that happened today, but I can't convince my husband that that he's death is imminent, you know, and that he needs to prepare for his death. He won't believe that he's about to die. And the bishop, of course, he had not revealed who he was, but he says, you know, I have
a little experience in
some,
that.
Yeah, some experience this sort of, with this sort of thing. And he goes in to speak to the old man.
Yeah.
And, you know, he tells him what the wife said. And he says, no, I know that I'm not about to die.
And why is that?
And the reason I know, he says, I am a lifelong Catholic. I've only seen a priest twice in the last 35 years.
Whoa.
But I have never strayed from the faith. I've kept the faith. I've kept my hope alive. And I do not believe that I'm going to die without receiving the last rites.
That's faith.
And at that point, of course, the bishop revealed who he was.
Oh, I love it.
And gave the man the last rites. And shortly thereafter, he died. But in, you know, in the grace of the church.
Praise God.
But that tells us, though, that the importance of the virtue of hope.
Exactly.
You have to have, you know, like I say, the Protestants say all you need is faith. It seems like the hierarchy in the church today is telling us all we need is charity. But you have to have the virtue of hope.
Absolutely. Matt, thanks for that story. I hope you folks enjoyed that story. That's one of my, just a beautiful testimony of faith. Matt, I do have a lot of stories regarding pro-life issues because this is that 47th anniversary. And I like this story. It's an NFL player, Ben Watson. He's making a pro-life documentary to unveil the truth about abortion. It's already in the can. He's got it. We just don't know when it's going to be released.
Right. It's in post now.
Yeah,
yes,
it's in post. Okay. And he's a father of 8 children. So obviously he lives what he believes. And, you know, he's going to pay a price for doing that. From his industry, which is professional football, people are going to be saying, why are you mixing the two? And I just want to thank you.
I was going to say, when you said that to me earlier, you're talking about this story. I said, you know, it's okay to sit down during the national anthem. You can bring those kind of politics in,
there
but God forbid you bring immorality.
There you go. Yeah. Here's another good story because we talked about Roe versus Wade. We know that President Trump has picked pro-life judges for the Supreme Court, and if he gets reelected, he most likely will be picking another 1 or 2 judges.
Right.
And that could overturn Roe versus Wade. And everybody knows this, even the people on the other side of the fence.
Sure.
Who don't want it to happen. So there's a pro-life group that's raising $52 million to help reelect President Trump. And when it was asked, well, why are you doing this? And she said, well, because President Trump is the most pro-life president that we've ever had.
Something that you and Jesse have, you've been banging that drum now for 3 years. This is the most pro-life president.
That is true.
That we've had since Roe v. Wade.
Yep. Yep. So that's what we're doing, and we're going to keep doing that. Matthew, here's a sad story, but people don't realize the value of life. And this is not in Nazi Germany in the 1930s when they were experimenting.
Yeah, we're talking now.
Now, in Mexico, scientists are paying poor women to get pregnant and then to abort their babies. And they're basically doing artificial insemination, and then they're looking at the embryo, which is the baby, and then they're flushing out the baby and using it for scientific research. Now, Matt, we don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out this is immoral. It's horrible.
Well, look at that. I mean, Bishop Sheen, years ago, I remember he said, you know, you could take a newspaper and every time you see somebody or read about somebody breaking one of the commandments, write the number of the commandment next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would find out that you would have a newspaper that was covered in numbers.
Well
right?
said.
And but look at that. That's artificial insemination. Okay, there's a sin, right? That's mortally sinful because it separates conception from the marital act.
That's right.
All right. And they're enticing these poor women with money that they can ill afford not to, you know.
Exactly.
And then they're killing the baby, destroying that life for their own ends, which is utilitarianism, and of course, and against the fifth commandment as well. So you've got, I mean, that's not one mortal sin. That's at least three before you even get started.
Yeah, it's very sad.
And God knows what they're doing with those things when they've got them.
Absolutely. Here's another story. Again, Nancy Pelosi, a baptized Catholic. We need to pray for her conversion. She says that she's impeaching President Trump for the children. But in the same breath, she supports abortion
for the children
up to birth. Now, you know, that's the Democratic Party's platform. And I don't trust me. Go to Priests for Life. Take a look at what they have as the platform for the Democratic Party, and the Republican Party and read which one is going to align with your Catholic faith. And then make the vote, make the choice. I can't tell you how to vote. I know I'm voting as a Catholic, and I'm going to ask this question, Matt, to you, to me. Is there enough evidence to show that you can be convicted as a pro-life Christian Catholic, or is there not? And if there's not enough evidence, then I would encourage you to get involved in the pro-life issues.
Go right back to today's gospel. You know, the Pharisees,
there you go.
You're talking about Jesus and curing on the Sabbath, and he cured him knowing that that the very next thing was that they were going to plot to have him crucified.
Right on. And here's the good news story. You hear about the Democratic Party doing that with Pelosi, but here's the Indiana bill would ban all abortions, declaring human life, it begins at conception. Do you see why I have hope and optimistic, Matt?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, we see there's a lot of people right now. This is an important moment,
yeah,
really, for the Catholic Church in the United States of America. This is the time for you to stand up and be a part of this and get it done while it can get done.
Absolutely. And I want to give you a teaser. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about a nurse who's pro-life, who her little video went to 1.7 million followers.
Wow.
And it's just so neat to see young, and I might add, she's beautiful, a beautiful young woman standing up for life. We need more of that. And you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's out of town, but you want to hear some big news? He won't be back until next week. He's actually doing some filming with the History Channel on his book on the demonic. And the History Channel wants to hear from him on what his experience has been and the occult and all the book that he wrote and
spiritual warfare.
And he's going to talk about Virgin Most Powerful Radio, how people can hear him on our network. So can you imagine, Matt, the exposure we're getting?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. There's some impact there because that's a much broader reach than we have. I think a couple more people watching the History Channel and watching us on YouTube right now. I'm guessing, I suspect that that's the case.
And then talking about more people, that's where you come in. Matt, how can people promote this on their social media? What can they do? Give us some ideas.
Well, first off, we're you go to the YouTube channel, especially.
Okay.
The Virgin Most Powerful YouTube channel, you know, Anthony, who's up in the office, he's making clips every day, these short clips, just a few minutes long, of the various topics that the hosts are talking about. And he's making those available. And it's easy for you. One click, you can share that on your social media.
Excellent.
Put it on your Twitter, put it on your Instagram, put it on your Facebook and get the message out.
Love it. Thank you very much for all your support for our second year with Virgin Most Powerful. Up next, more pro-life stories where people are making a stand for life that's going to inspire you and me to be more pro-life in this day and time. We'll be right back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoremus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
All right, welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matthew Arnold sitting in for Jesse Romero today. And, you know, Terry, I think it was just yesterday on the Terry and Jesse Show, you and Jesse were talking, and you mentioned that in Cardinal Seurat's book, The Day Is Now Far Spent, that he quotes John Paul II as saying that the time is coming.
That's right.
When we're not going to just, you know, we're going to be suffering, there's going to be persecution, and there are Catholics who are going to be called upon to give up their lives.
That's right.
For the truth. Now, you had a story.
I just had a story because, you know, for years, back in the 70s, I got involved with a pro-life group called The Shield of Roses.
Oh, I love
and we
that.
Would, yeah, we would pray rosaries in front of abortion clinics, and we would offer the individuals that came in alternatives to abortion. And, okay, so we did that. And this one day, I was there, and a black limousine, pulled up to the front of the Planned Parenthood facility, and we're just praying our rosary. And, you know, they stopped. So I thought, oh, well, let's see what happens.
Right.
Well, the chauffeur gets out of this black limousine with a suit and tie, opens the back door, and an Italian guy with a full suit, you know, with the vest on, gets out of the car with a toothpick in his right mouth, in the right side of his mouth, and looks up at me and says, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, and you can tell he had more than the suit.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I saw the gun in the holster.
Okay.
And that did get my attention, Matt. I forgot about that minor part.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't that minor. I looked at it and I said, "Oh my gosh, he's got a gun."
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "What are you doing?" And I was thinking, whatever you want me to be doing, you know? But I said, "Well, we're here praying for the unborn babies and giving alternatives to people who come, because this is an abortion clinic." And then he looked at me, and then he looked up at the sign, and with his right hand, he hit me on the shoulder. Like, okay. And then he got back in the car, and he drove off. And I was like, grateful. I mean, like, wow.
Sure.
Did that really happen? Now, Matthew.
Thinking it could have gone very differently.
It could have gone different. I mean, if he shot me and killed me, I thought, you know
but
what?
You don't know either. I mean, maybe that guy was, maybe there was a woman in that limousine that he was bringing there and he changed his mind.
I have
no
idea. But if he killed me, for what I was doing, on the supernatural aspect, I would get to go to heaven right away because I was standing up for the unborn.
Right, standing up for the little ones.
Yeah. And then that reminded me, like I said, of that story that in 1980 when St. John Paul II mentioned that we are coming to a time we have to stand up. So when your boss is not going to be happy or some social person that you socialize with because you made a comment about standing up for life, it's going to make you uncomfortable, get over it.
Right, yeah. It's like...
I'm serious.
Our Lord came to comfort the afflicted. He also came to afflict the comfortable. You know, before you go back in, there's one more story. There's a story that that I've heard of yours.
Yeah.
I wanted you to talk about, I think it was your first date with Mary
Danielle. Met my wife. Okay. I was thinking of that too.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody knows the Bible with the Barbers, and we have it here on Virgin Most Powerful.
Yes.
30-some years ago.
Mary Barber, master's degree in biblical theology, your wife. Yes.
Okay. Well, here's what was going on. She was volunteering at the MI, the Knights of the Immaculata, as a single woman. And there were four girls in an apartment that did this. And so it was right across the street from St. Christopher's, where I went to Mass every day. And I said to the girls, "Would any of you like to come to the clinic and pray the rosary? Because we need more people praying." And they all said, "Yes, we'd like to go." Mm-hmm. But only one out of the four was ready to go the next morning. It was a Saturday morning. Oh, I said, "Well, where's everybody else?" "Oh, they aren't feeling well." Okay, whatever.
Okay.
I didn't know I've been set up. But anyhow, I take my future bride, and I didn't know that. Had no interest in this woman. Honestly, I can say that.
Right, sure.
Was basically get more bodies praying the rosary.
Right.
But I found out that when we got there, there was a pro-abortion group there. They thought we were having a Minuteman rescue where there'd be hundreds of pro-lifers at this event. No, it was just my wife and I. My future wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it was just this girl that wasn't, and it wasn't even a real date.
Yeah, it wasn't a date. I just took her to pray the rosary. Right. Well, when we got out of the car, they said, "There they are." And she's going, "What are they saying?" I said, "Don't worry about that. We're here to pray the rosary. They can go pound sand." That's exactly what right. I told her. I said, "We're here to pray." So we're there, and basically we're surrounded by all these abortionist people, and there one guy sticks a cigarette butt in my ear when I had this big, long, like that crucifix, but much bigger. I'm carrying it. And I got upset because the guy, you know.
Well, he assaulted you.
Yeah, he did.
You have, again, the anger is the right response.
Yeah. So I went after him, and I, you know, couldn't do anything because people were all around me. But the bottom line is ABC, NBC, all the networks were there filming this. Mm. So I said, okay, well, how about our turn? So Matt, you'll like this because it's creative, and Matt's very creative.
Yes.
After they got up and talked to these people about why calling us terrorists because we were defending the clinic.
Right, the two of you.
Yeah, the two of us.
That huge crowd of two.
Yeah.
That was there going to stop abortion. Yeah.
Right, and so here's what I said. I said, "Excuse me, are you going to let us have a voice on this, or are you just going to be one sided?" And I said, "Well, who are you with?" So I said, "Well, my name is Terry Barber, and I'm the president of the Concerned Roman Catholics of America." Matt, I just thought of it. And they put it on the screen.
You created right on the spot. Just
so they let me talk about the unborn babies that we're trying to protect. My mother recorded it. We still have it on video, 30-some years ago. Okay. And then I noticed that Mary, my future wife, was praying with her eyes closed. So when we got back into the car after a couple hours of being there, I said, "You know, I got a question to ask you, Mary. I noticed that when all this activity was going on, you were just there praying and your eyes were closed. How did you do that?" She says, "Well, I asked my guardian angel for protection, and then I could pray because I couldn't pray." So I said, "If I poke you with a pin, will you bleed?" And she laughed. And I said, "I'd like to take you to lunch."
Well, and there,
so I
and
took
there,
her to lunch, got to know more about her, and fell in love with her and married her and had 6 kids. That's the story.
Well, here's the thing. Now, how beautiful is that, though? That again, that and you see the agenda that they're there with this big crowd because they're expecting a big crowd. A big crowd doesn't show up, but they go ahead anyway.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There was this big threat, and it's just the two of you, and the fact that you were there, and thank God it was you. You know, because you're the kind of Catholic who would say, "Hey, well, wait a second. Don't I get to go on camera? Don't I get, you know?"
Yeah.
No, it's a terrific story. And by the way, you really lucked out.
Oh, I sure did. Are you kidding me? I got a gold mine there. And again, she's, you know, we read, and I just share this little story because people always say, "Oh, it's so cute. I'm glad you shared that." I get that. I'm already getting it on text.
Right, yeah.
But we read 3 to get married before we got married.
Right.
Together.
You know, and what a, you know, I was not Catholic when I got married. I converted later.
Right.
But I get that. The bridal shower. That's my bridal shower gift.
Good thing.
Because that's a, you know, what a beautiful thing to do.
Yeah,
to
it is.
That together.
It is. So I hope, you know, these stories are in my book, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone. And it tells all these good stories. If you like pro-life stories, I've got so many pro-life stories that I won't share now. But if you do want it, call us at 877-526-2151.
All right. By the way, yeah, before the break, you said you were going to tell this story.
Here
the
it comes.
Nurse. Okay, and here
this
it is.
This is a nurse. Her name is Holly, and she basically does these videos, real short videos, and she's being bullied online after her social media post went viral.
1.7 million views and counting.
And why did she get bullied? Because she said this: "Wait until you're married to have sex. It is the best way to stop STDs. What are STDs? Sexually transmitted diseases.
Right. I mean, she's up there. There's pictures in this, and she's a beautiful young woman.
Yes, she is.
And it says, and it's right on the screen, what is the best way to prevent STDs? And then the answer, waiting for sex until marriage.
I love it.
There it is. Yeah. And that's, Terry.
Tell me.
She's getting attacked for this, but what is that? It's just common sense.
Ain't that common?
Most of these things that you're talking about, the laws, the rest of it, it's just common sense.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, common sense in an uncommon degree is what the world calls wisdom.
And Matt, this is an example why we should all stand up and not be afraid to be persecuted for our pro-life stance.
Well, and it's time. If we don't stand up, you know,
who will? What's the old line? When good people do nothing, evil what? Abounds?
Evil triumphs.
Triumphs.
When good men do nothing.
Yep. Here's another good story that I think, again, they took a hit for being pro-life. The University of Ottawa. This is up in Canada.
What a fight they're having up in the north.
The student union strips the pro-life club of the official status because they are pro-life. They're talking about the unborn. And at that school, they don't want to hear that.
Yeah, they had a specific thing here that they said that the unborn are human beings.
Yeah, that's outlandish.
Again, common sense, right? What do we think they are? What do you know? If they're not human beings, what are they? Were they raccoons, cabbages?
Yeah, but oh gosh! And in that same country in Canada, London, Ontario, 44 professors at a so-called because they're a Catholic university. Mm-hmm. They're demanding the school to apologize for what? For screening the pro-life film Unplanned. Now, if you haven't seen Unplanned, this is about Gabby Johnson's story of how she had a massive conversion. Right.
This is a woman that worked for Planned Parenthood, right. Who, you know, I guess worked in the office, and one day she was called in to assist with an abortion. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, how much medical training do you have to assist in murder?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot, apparently. But when she saw what actually happened in there, it changed her heart. And that, you know, God... sometimes, so many times, has to break our hearts to make enough room for him to be in there.
Yeah, and Father Michael Bichart, he's the pastor, chaplain for the King's University Campus Ministry. I want to again say that's the second priest on this show that I could say stood up for life.
Mm-hmm.
The Norbertine priest that we had earlier on the first segment,
right.
And the priest here, because he said, no, we're going to do this because it's the right thing to do. Now, in this same college campus, they allowed Father James Martin promoting LGBT. That was okay, showing respect and welcoming the LGBT people. But to show a pro-life film, no, we have to protest that. Now, that tells me that school is somewhere that's not Catholic in name only.
How did we fall so far? Well, that's you tune into Happy Hour. It'll give you lots of answers.
And that's coming up in 20 minutes, folks.
Well, no, it's actually coming up in 2 days and 20 minutes.
You know
minutes.
What? I'm so used to having you on a Friday. You're right. I'm thinking this today's Friday. I'm used to seeing you on Fridays.
Yep.
Hey, I got another great story about the bishops with Pope Francis. I mentioned it yesterday, but I think it's important again to show that Pope Francis is telling us that abortion is the preeminent priority. With 61 million abortions a year, the Pope was shocked when he heard that. And so I'd say this, give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he doesn't know about our country, but mm-hmm. This is a big problem. And now he's seeing, yes, you bishops, stand up for life. Put it at the top, which I appreciate Pope Francis doing that.
Amen.
When we come back, I got more stories to tell you about how you can stand up for life. You're listening to The Terry and Jesse Show. This is Terry Barber, and Myra Brown is with me. Myra, welcome.
Hi, Terry. I am so happy to be here with you today because I am up to something that I think you'll find very interesting.
Tell me, what is it, Myra?
Well, I want to give away a DVD, your famous 3-hour talk about how to share your faith with everyone. And do you know how I'm going to do it?
Tell me.
Well, me and my friend Annie Jo are calling everybody to talk about monthly donations, because that is how we keep this station alive.
Absolutely.
And so every person that answers either our email or answers our phone call will get that talk.
And they can get it by calling 877-526-2151. And just tell us how you heard about it, because I really am excited about Myra's project, because we want to have Virgin Most Powerful in every state in the union.
Yep, and we're going to do it with your help. So answer the phone call, answer that email, and I look forward to getting your prayer intention then.
God love you.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I got a big smile on my face. Matt, now we should have the microphone on at breaks. People would have a chuckle also. But Matt,
perhaps actually we should have that be another whole show.
Yeah, there you go.
The stuff that happens when the mics are off. Anyway, yeah, I wanted to bring it back, Terry.
Sure.
And Matthew Arnold, by the way, sitting in for Jesse on the Terry and Jesse Show today. Jesse Romero's out, and he's actually getting filmed for a History Channel documentary on spiritual warfare. So that's awesome. But we've been talking about the 47th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and I just wanted to mention, too, signs of hope we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That, and for one thing, the Hyde Amendment, right? That was 40 years ago that Representative Henry Hyde, got that amendment introduced that says you can't have federal funding for abortion.
Right.
Now, the government manages to give Planned Parenthood several million dollars a year anyhow, somehow. But presumably because, they do other things besides abortion. But there's been consensus. I mean, Republicans, Democrats, this is an amendment. Because it's a rider on a Medicaid bill, it has to be renewed every year. And it's been renewed every year.
That's right.
Clinton signed it. Obama signed it. And Trump, of course. And the thing is that it shows that consensus. And right now in the House of Representatives, they have a bill, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is a bill that would end infanticide.
Praise
no more
God.
Infanticide.
Praise God.
Okay? And it has great bipartisan support in the House. They have plenty of votes. They have enough votes to make it a bill and send it to the Senate. But Nancy Pelosi, right, Catholic, quote-unquote, Nancy Pelosi, has been blocking this amendment every time.
Mm.
Now, the thing is, there is a provision in the House. If they get enough votes, they can't. You had 204 members have we've got 204 already. They need 14 more to petition her to allow it to come to a vote, and that's one of those things. You have to remember that the pro-life thing, most people really are, I think, pro-life. They're not maybe willing to stick their neck out. But if you ask them the question, are you for killing babies? The answer is typically no.
Yeah.
And so it's movements like this that keep her. Anyway, Jordan Sekulow over at the American Center
Good
for
guy.
Law and Justice, they've got a petition that you can go online and check that out, because they're trying to push super hard. Get your representatives to join in and sign that petition.
Well said, Matt. Hey, I've got another story where someone's paying an absolute price to be pro-life. And this is on the other end, the long-born, we call it, the elderly. A Canadian hospice tells the government it will forego $750,000 in public funds rather than kill sick patients.
So no euthanasia then.
Exactly.
So the government will give them, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's last time I heard.
Yeah.
That's $750,000.
That's right, Matt.
That's a pretty hefty chunk of change for one single hospice. And they're saying no because the government says we'll give you that money, but only if you'll do euthanasia.
Yes, and that's what's so beautiful, that this organization is saying, money is not going to push us to kill our patients.
Amen.
And I say this because we always say follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just like a story like this because it inspires me that they can't be bought.
Right.
You know, to say, well, I didn't know that, you're going to give me that much money. Well, now we can talk. No, they said, we're not going to kill our patients just because you're going to give us $750,000. Go pound sand. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exciting for me because it gives me inspiration to stand up. And I hope you also for the pro-life cause. Matthew, I got another story that I've read this over the years, but scientists, not Catholic priests, not the bishops, not the Pope, science confirms unborn children feel pain during abortions as early as 12 weeks. When I see this image here, it reminds me of the silent scream. Mm-hmm. You remember? And this is horrible to have to describe.
Oh, yeah. That's.
But they're poking the baby, and the baby's trying to run away from the scalpel.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can still feel uncomfortable with it watching.
Well, of course, because you're looking at a child trying to hopelessly to defend itself. And then be killed.
And you know, Matt.
And it brings that reality.
Exactly.
You know, that's one of the things we're talking about laws.
Yes.
And talking about hope. And part of my hope is that there are a lot of people, not everyone, but there are a lot of people who might, women that might have an abortion, men that might assist with them in one way or another, who would be convinced to, who would change their mind if they could see the sonogram.
Yes.
I remember when Betty was pregnant with our first son, this was way back, 1992, I guess. And so, and they had sonograms and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But the technology has advanced so far. I remember when they said, oh, look, there's the head. I'm going, yeah.
Okay.
It looks like an aerial shot of the dark side of the moon, I have no idea what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
But today, that imaging, it's come so far. And we've seen again and again and again, when women are shown the sonogram of that living child inside of them, they will change their mind and not go through with the abortion. And we've been trying to get laws again that keep getting blocked because they know.
Well, the facts.
Yeah, the facts are that people, when they see that it is a baby.
And another element that stops people from having abortions is people at abortion clinics praying.
Yep.
They know that that's a fact. I don't know if you remember Joe Scheidler. He wrote a book called 99 Ways to Close an Abortion Clinic. And he said the very fact that there are people praying at a clinic sets the stage there for people not to have abortions. As a matter of fact, we had a gentleman, Zachary King, who was a Satanist.
Right.
And he said the very same thing was he was working with abortion clinics. And when they would see people praying the rosary, just the spiritual effect, was tremendous. And they lost a lot of business. So what's the message for all of us? If you're in a position to go to a clinic to pray, that definitely affects the effectiveness of stopping abortion every time. And I would say that what I've read is about 80% of the people who show up at an abortion clinic, if they see people praying, one thing is what goes through their mind is, "What am I doing something wrong?" I mean, it's legal.
Right.
But when they see somebody praying and saying, don't, stop abortion, many times they go, you're right, I shouldn't be doing this. And they stop. And the other thing I want to say is I'm involved right now with an unwed mother that we're helping. Help the unwed mothers with diapers, with housing, with whatever we can. We've got to give alternatives. We can't just say, lady, go have your baby and not be financially supporting of them.
Right. Well, that's in the letter of St. James. Mm-hmm. He says, if you say to somebody who's in need, have a good day and be well, mm-hmm. but you don't do anything to help them.
There you go.
And it's, and again, as Christians, we have a certain accountability. Our good Lord was very adamant about the corporal works of mercy in Matthew 25 there when he talks about the sheep and the goats.
And Matthew, what you just said is what I've tried to end every show with, the five stones. But I think we should be adding another stone to our five stones for the Terry and Jesse show. See if you like this. The spiritual and corporal works of mercy.
Right.
Because we can have personal holiness. We can pray, which is good, and we can go to Mass. We can use Eucharistic adoration. We can go to confession, read our Bibles, spend time in prayer. And remember what Our Lady said, that souls are going to hell because there's no one there to pray and make sacrifices. I get all that.
Right.
But I'd like to if you're with your imprimatur, I would like to add the spiritual works and the corporal works of mercy, because talk is cheap. The supply exceeds the demand.
That's right.
Meaning that we have to put it into action. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. It isn't easy, you know, and everyone's level of commitment is going to be different.
Of course.
People are not going to be able to, don't have the latitude or the fortitude or whatever it is to go and to an abortion clinic every week or every day. I mean, I loved how that Norbertine priest, when he was doing your homily, he talked about the abortion clinic. He said which one it was and what street it was on.
Yeah.
And it is, it's important to not be afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And so if you're, like you say, if it's diapers and so forth for the Life Center, or if it's a donation in dollars, because they do, I mean, the pro-life cause doesn't fund itself. I mean, the church isn't saying, oh, here's $750,000 for you to do pro-life work with, you know, these are things that we have to fund ourselves. So we have to support these things with our prayers. Yes. With our sacrifices, however those are, whether you're sacrificing time or treasure or talent.
Right. And tomorrow I've been telling everybody, Matthew, and you've helped me get this out, that Father Joe Fessio, founder of Ignatius Press, is going to be here. It's a whole hour interview regarding Cardinal Seurat's book with Pope Benedict regarding priestly celibacy.
Yeah, Ignatius Press is the publisher of the English version.
Right, not the French, but the English. And we're going to give an update on what's going on with that book. And also, why is this book so opposed by certain people?
Yeah, how could it possibly be controversial?
Yeah.
For a Pope Emeritus and a Cardinal of the Catholic Church who's in charge of liturgy to say that priests ought to be celibate. At what point in our history could that have become a controversial statement?
And also Pope Francis just recently, as recently as December, said that he supports priestly celibacy.
That's right.
So why is it so controversial? Well, you're going to find out why from Father Joe Fessio tomorrow.
Right,
you're
going to go to the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Yes, and we're going to learn a lot. And again, we need to pray for Holy Mother of the Church. That's why I say every Thursday night we pray at our chapel 2 hours before the Blessed Sacrament. Why? For our priests, our bishops, and our Holy Father, because these are tough times. Read, the times right now. We're living in a world that acts like God doesn't even exist.
That's right.
We forgot about God.
Yes.
And look what's going on in the culture. All those things we talked about on abortion, do you really think the country would allow the killing of our unborn if they knew Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, and had that relationship? No way. Bishop Sheen said it. Mother Teresa said,
right.
We can't have peace without stopping abortion.
Yeah, I have a friend, and his wife is, they're from England, and his wife's parents were very involved in the pro-life movement, getting that going in England. And that's the thing, though. She says it has to be opposed, because if you can kill babies, what aren't you capable of?
Well said. Yeah. Matt Arnold, thank you for joining us and filling in for Jesse. Jesse's going to be out for a couple of days, so I'm going to have different. I got Father Charles Murr coming in on Friday. Right. Everybody loves him.
Yeah, do you have time to hit us with the five stones before we're out?
Yes, the five stones here. Confession. We want to go pray our daily rosary. We go to Mass as often as we can. Confession, the reading of the Bible each day. And Matthew, I like to end every show by asking Jesse a question. I bet you can answer it. Matt, what state should we be living in?
That would be the state of grace, Terry.
And what state shouldn't we be living in?
We should not be in the state of mortal sin.
Wow. I was going to say up next, but it's not. Friday, Matt will have his show. This is Wednesday, last time I looked.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us. And again, if you'd like to become a monthly donor for Virgin Most Powerful, you get all the recordings of all these conferences, Bishop Sheen, Scott Hahn. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. Full Sheen ahead.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.